Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anime Summit Newscast. It's your favorite host with the most, Sam the Bomb. And it is December 18th, 2020. And so, speaking of which, so next week is Christmas already. That's fucking wild to me. Next week is Christmas. So, the next Saturday would be the 26th after. So Christmas on Friday night. But anyway, this will be the last newscast of the year, okay? So I'm going to take a break for the next 2 weeks. So there won't be any newscasts the next weekend or the weekend after, okay? But so I thought because of that, I would take the end of this podcast to have an opinion piece on 2020 and what that meant for us as a podcast, what it meant for other podcasts, what it meant for how we view entertainment, our anime entertainment, and report it back to you. And yeah, just from my observation, I have a couple articles up here, but I thought that would be kind of cool to kind of like do a little I'll look back real quick, you know what I mean? So anyway, that being said, let's just do the non-anime news first, and then we'll get into the anime news. I don't have a lot, okay? There isn't too much. There was a lot of stuff that did happen today. Like, there was a really cool Nintendo Direct that happened today, and we'll get to that, and some other stuff. But yeah, I don't have too much, so let's do it. Last newscast of the year, almost to the big 100. I don't even know what newscast this is. I think it's like number 90, 95, 90. Oh, this is 96. So yeah, whew. Yeah, dude, that's crazy. All right, let's do it. Oh, first off, before we start, I guess this happened yesterday, and I want to dedicate this newscast to Jeremy Bullock. He was the original Boba Fett, and he passed away. I think it was a couple days ago. We got the news yesterday. But yeah, he passed away. He was 75. Here we go. Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure he was just getting up there and things like that. So, but yeah, Jeremy Bullock, this one's for you. Always put respect on the Fett, okay? Respect the Fett. Shout out to The Mandalorian, which I haven't seen yet. Anyway, so let's get on with the non-anime news. First thing on the non-anime news, like I said earlier, the Nintendo had a little direct today, but it wasn't really a direct on any video games. They had a mini direct because of Smash, right? But the one that they came out with today was literally just Shigeru Miyamoto walking around Super Nintendo World, giving you a little tour of certain parts of the park. And it was really cool. It was just like a little 12 minute video of him just kind of giving you a little tour of it. And my God, like, this man, you know, like, he created Mario, you know, in the 80s, and here he is. This must be a dream come true for him, watching him walk around this, you know, this parts of the park and stuff like that. He looks so happy. He was having so much fun, and the cool thing about it is the how the park is interactive, and they call it activities, or what he called it was their activities or park activities. So like, when you get into the park, you're given a little thing, what they call a power-up band. And it just looks like a little watch, and then instead of a watch, it's like a symbol. So, like, the one he was wearing was a red one with the M on it. And you could go around, and if there was, like, a power block just, like, sitting there, you could hit the bottom of it and get a coin. And that corresponds to the app on your phone, and it tracks all of the... So, like, you connect the watch via Bluetooth or to the app on your phone, and then you go around hitting blocks and doing things, interacting with the park and things like that. And it keeps track of everything on your phone. So all the coins you get in your day at the park, every item you get, whatever. It's amazing. I'm like, this is so cool. That's so fucking cool. You know, it's not like it's not like surprising breaking technology or anything. It's just like, it's cool that they thought of that. Because they literally probably could have just made like a regular old park and people would have been happy with it because it's super fucking Mario. But like, they just like, they made this thing and it was way cool. You know what I mean? So... I thought it was super, he was having so much fun, and it was just watching him laugh and smile throughout the whole video is like, it's gotta be the greatest thing. It's a dream come true for him, you know. He created this thing however many years ago, and now he's getting a full-on fucking park for it. It's fucking cool. So yeah, Universal Studios Japan has this in, and it opens February 4th. So it's part of the Universal Studios Japan park. So I shouldn't say it's a whole ass park, but like it is kind of, but like it's part of Universal Studios Japan. So anyway, that's a really cool. I can't wait. If I ever go to Japan, that's definitely on the docket, along with a million other things. I think Trisha said something about staying at a Hello Kitty hotel, which would be amazing, obviously. But yeah, we're gonna do that. We're going to Super Mario World, okay, babe? I don't think she heard me, but I'm pretty sure she nodded in agreement. Anyway, y'all know SNK. They made the Neo Geo, right? Neo Geo, Pocket, they made those. And then they stopped making systems, obviously, because, you know, we had Nintendo and Sega and PlayStation. Well, I guess they announced that they are making a new console. SNK announced on Tuesday that it will release a new console in 2021. The company described the console as a system to bridge the needs between passionate fans and console gaming enthusiasts. SNK released the Neo Geo Arcade Stick Pro in November 2019. The hardware can link to Neo Geo Mini System, which shipped in Japan in July 2018 with 40 games from the original system. But yeah, that's all we know. That's all we know, basically. So, I mean, like, obviously, like I said, they had the Neo Geo MVS arcade system, and its home console counterpart, the Neo Geo AES, in 1990. Because you have to realize that their arcades, the Neo Geo arcade cabinet, wasn't like what Capcom or Namco used, or what Nintendo cabinets or those system or Pac-Man. Like, what they use is a whole ass arcade board that goes into the machine, and then it's, you know, it's connected to the screen, it's connected to the coin op and everything. The way that Neo Geo did it was they had a board, yes, but it had four cartridge systems or cartridge slots, and they would put these huge ass Neo Geo cartridge games. They would put four of them in one thing, and then they would connect it to the board and then connect it to the coin op and the screen. And you could put in your coin and you would pick which of the four games you wanted to play. That is how a Neo Geo MVS system worked. So the home system was basically that, except it was actually an actual console, like a Super Nintendo, except you would put the big cartridge in that instead of the MVS board. But anyway, just went to a fucking Neo Geo tangent there. And they also had the Neo Geo CD, the Hyper Neo Geo 64, and the Neo Geo Pocket Color, and all that stuff. But so it's really exciting to hear that they're doing a new console, and I would love to cop that. In this age, with the three biggins we have now, I don't know what they're going to do or what they're going to make, but we will see. That's I'm very curious to see what that's all about. Monster Hunter World, Iceborne director Daisuke Ichihara leaves Capcom. Daisuke Ichihara revealed during an interview with the CG World website on Wednesday that he has left Capcom and joined ILCA 3D CG Company as the director of the company's Kyoto developmental team. He recently worked on Monster Hunter World Iceborne and some other things. He worked on mostly just Monster Hunter games. And then he was the director for the Iceborne expansion. So, yeah, I don't know if that's I don't know what ILCA is. I guess I should look it up. Oh, they did a bunch of other just Japanese games. Okay. Looks like they did them for... Oh, animation stuff. Okay. So, I guess he is going to get into the animation business. That's pretty cool. Let's save that for the end, because that's a big news piece for the end of the non-anime stuff. Dragon Ball FighterZ roster adds Super Baby 2. Dragon Ball FighterZ roster isn't done growing quite yet, and recent V-Jump scan that leaked early confirms which arrival is coming next. The next FighterZ DLC arrived in the game soon is Super Baby 2, a character from Dragon Ball GT, and the recent scans give us a little clue what it means for the game. But yeah, Super Baby 2, so basically there's Baby, then there's Super Baby and Super Baby 2, which is Baby inside of Vegeta's body in Super Saiyan form, except his hair is like white or whatever. But he was a really cool villain. This was a really cool way for Goku to like full on fight Vegeta. I mean, not that he didn't before in the Buu Saga when he was Majin, but like this was just like a way to kind of just like to fight like a bloodlusted Vegeta, like no holds barred, you know, because even when Vegeta was Majin, you know, he had some kind of shit left in him and whatever, you know what I mean? Like some emotions and stuff. So I think it's really cool that they included him in Fighters. Of course, we got the GT Kid Goku in before, so we've had GT characters before, but it's cool to see a not another Goku, you know what I mean? I guess technically this is another Vegeta, you know, but really, in reality, it's Baby. So that is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Hades Switch update adds cross-save support with PC, which is amazing. Because now when I get it on Steam, I can bring my save over from my Switch over to the Steam buns, which is nice. Because to be honest with you, though, I am pretty... I won't say it without spoiling. I am, like, past a lot of the story and pretty much done with the story already. So I'm just kind of grinding and playing with Heat and whatever. But... I mean, I would still love to, like, you know, this is a game I can see myself playing for a long time, you know, going back to every so often, just like I do with Dust Force or some other games. I really love it. So, you know, I would love to get it on PC and, you know, I mean, it's that good of a game. I want to own it in two places. You know what I mean? Overwatch's Winter Wonderland started this past Tuesday. I don't know if y'all are playing. I normally only play Overwatch when, you know, they do events, but the Lumberjack Torbjorn is a really cool costume. Of course, the returning ones from previous years, you know, we got Rat King, Reaper and stuff. Ice Empress Moira, Toybot Zenyatta, really cool. We have May, but she's, like, in a penguin outfit, and that's the cutest fucking thing ever. May is the best girl. And we have, Junkrat as, like, a fucking elf or some shit. But this elf Junkrat is, like, it's the week one skin. So, like, you gotta win an arcade or quick play 9 times, or competitive, 9 times to get the elf Junkrat. Then will be Gingerbread Anna, and then Frosty Roadhog for week 3, so... I'm going to be making sure I do all that because I want all those. The Frosty Roadhog is a must because even after the holidays, it still looks really cool because he's just a snowman. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you know, super relegated to Christmas since there are places on Earth that you can make snowmen all the time. But, like, he just looks like evil. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of if you've ever heard of the game called Clay Fighter, I'm probably dating myself. But there was a character who was basically a killer snowman, and his name was Bad Mr. Frosty. And that's a really weird reference, and I feel super old, and I'm going to go jump out a window. Here we go. Pokemon Trading Card Game unveils new battle styles mechanic. So there's this... So the Pokemon Card Game came out with the... So the Sword and Shield set started, I should say, a block or era, rather. You know, they normally coincide with the game, or they try to. So, you know, when the game came out, that's the TCG followed probably, I think, like 3 or 4 months after. So we've had like 8 or 9 sets of sort of different Sword and Shield sets out already. And so this new one is called Battle Styles, but it introduces, like, to coincide with the Isle of Armor expansion. Battle Styles allows Pokemon cards to carry either Single Strike style or Rapid Strike style. The mechanic will be implemented as part of a newly announced Pokemon Trading Card Game Sword and Shield Battle Styles expansion. Much like Urshifu, I forgot how you pronounce his name, Urshifu, styles in the Isle of Armor expansion, Single Strike cards have a tiny bit of red and deliver single powerful attacks with the ability to knock out opponents in one shot. Meanwhile, Rapid Strike cards feature blue decoration with attacks that are a bit sneakier and more technical and let them attack their opponents when they least expect it. These styles are also available as trainer energy cards, which assist Pokemon of the corresponding style to allow you to build decks centered around Single Strike or Rapid Strike. So, like, an example, they're showing a couple examples here. And for those of you who don't know how Pokemon card game mechanics work, each kind of, like, era, they have, like, a new version of, like, a super card, you know, like a level X or an EX or a SP, whatever. So one of the ones they have out now is called a Tyran. It's like a V card, where it's like an evolved Pokemon, but it's a basic, so you don't have to evolve to like that. So like the one I'm looking at is Tyranitar. It's a level 3 Pokemon, but it's a Tyranitar V, so it's basic. So like you can just play it like that without evolving from Larvitar. That being said, this one I'm looking at, Tyranitar V, it's labeled a single strike under the name, and it has a move that deals 240 damage. So I guess that's the goal, right? Because especially this Tyranitar V itself is 230 HP, so you're meant to just like, you know, one shot. Then we have here a Mien Shao that is labeled a rapid strike card, and it has an ability that swings for 90, but it only costs 2 energy, and it says your opponent's active Pokemon is now confused, and then you shuffle this Pokemon and all the cards attached to it into your deck. So it does the attack, and then you take it away. So that could be really hilarious. I've built a deck like that before where it goes back into your deck or back into your hand, so then you just keep repeating the process and your Pokemon never dies. It's really funny. I used to do that shit all the time. That's actually really neat, though. I'm glad they're introducing a new battle mechanic as opposed to, just introducing a new kind of Pokemon card where it's like an SP, EX, level X. This kind of makes it kind of cool, although I don't really see the difference of, you know, you could really just have the card just like it is without labeling it, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really... I guess it's just to make it easier to, like, build your deck around that kind of thing. Maybe that's why they put it on there. But here's a Urshifu V, Rapid Strike, and then an Urshifu V-Max Rapid Strike, and then we have the Single Strike Urshifu, where it's, like, you know, different stances or whatever. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, I talked a long time about that, so my bad. Mortal Kombat pushes premiere date to spring 2021. On HBO Max. I think we talked about that already, right? Because they were all of WB's slated movies for 2021 are all going to go on HBO Max. So there's that. Disney announces Chippendale's Rescue Rangers getting a hybrid live action animated film. John Mulaney, Andy Samberg. That's a fucking amazing. I hope that they better do well on that. If they don't, I'm going to bust somebody up so bad. Oh my god, if you fuck up Rescue Rangers, oh my god. John Mulaney is Chip and Andy Samberg is Dale. I mean, I think they can do it. Those are both pretty funny guys. Andy Samberg can do a ton of voices, I'm pretty sure. So I'm excited for that. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. So that's going to be cool. I also didn't know this, and I'm just going to say it now because we have a lot of Mob Psycho stans as listeners. Today, literally today, and I didn't even fucking know it, I'm going to go to my local game shop and see if they have this. They came out with Mob Psycho 100 Weiss Schwartz starter deck. And holy cow, man. Some of the cards look super sweet. I'm excited. I'm going to play the shit out of that. So because of this Warner Brothers thing where they are putting all their movies on HBO Max in 2021... And I think they're also still going to go on theaters too. But I guess major theater chains are considering making it so going to the theater to see a WB movie, it's going to be really cheap. So like if I want to go see Mortal Kombat in the theater, the tickets are going to be like majorly discounted because they don't want to give profit to the studio, I guess, or something. I don't fucking know. Like they want people to come to the theater, obviously. Right? And because they put everything to HBO Max, the theater is losing money. So they're considering slashing their ticket prices for WB movies so you'll go see it there instead of your HBO Max subscription. Because, I mean, think about it, right? For me, the theater experience is everything. I grew up in that era. I'm biased. I'm talking like a boomer. I get it. But, like, I love the theater. I love the theater. There's something about going in there, paying $10 for a small popcorn, sitting next to your honey, you know, and you hold their hand a little bit. You know, maybe they touch you in the titty a little bit while you sip your $18 large Pepsi. But, like, the theater experience is where it's at, okay? And I think I understand. Well, I don't. I mean, I kind of don't. But I don't know. This whole thing is a mess. This whole thing is a mess. And we'll talk about it more when we talk about my thing at the end. So here's the big piece of the non-anime news. CD Projekt Red provides update on Cyberpunk 2077 refunds. This one I'm reading is as of today. So basically what happened is a bunch of people wanted refunds because a bunch of people bought it for Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And the versions of those of the game that are on PS4 and Xbox One were horrible. And just horrible. Graphics-wise, everything is just bad. I mean, not only is the game overall buggy itself on every system, but just, like, they did not... And they, I guess, admittedly so. I have to find the... I don't think I have that article up. But I guess, admittedly so, they did not put a lot of effort into the past console versions. The PS4 and Xbox One versions. And so what I've been hearing from just people in our Discord talking about it, including Quokka, is how buggy it is, and everything. I've seen some of you talking in the Discord saying I'm getting a refund because this is crazy. And Quokka is playing it on his Chromecast, I think he said. So, like, he's using the Google thing. Is it Stadia? Is Stadia and Google the same thing? They're the same thing, right? Anyway, that's how Quokka's playing it. And Quokka says it runs perfect. He hasn't had any problems or issues. Like, obviously, there's little clipping graphics issues here and there. But he said, other than that, it runs perfect. And so it's funny because, like, when he was talking about that, when they were talking, Quokka and some of our listeners were talking about it, I was like... I made a comment like, it's funny because like I always made fun of Quokka for using that service and not just, you know, playing it on a console like a real gamer. Oh, like obviously I'm joking, right? But like you know my stance on the Stadia and the stream platform stuff, like the stream console stuff, because like the whole thing with data caps and things like that, like it just doesn't seem feasible. It seems really weird. It seems super goofy. So like, as I'm making fun of that and shit like that, here's Quokka saying, the game runs perfect for me. And I'm like, damn. But then when I look back on it, though, it's just one game, you know? And even if there were Stadia people here, you know, in North America, because Quokka's obviously in Singapore. But, like, here in North America, if people here are using Stadia, you know, there's a lot of people who have data caps. My internet, thankfully, I don't have data cap. But like even my friend Joel, who I did a Cards in Hand with, you know, like he, where he lives, he has data caps, you know? So it's just like Stadia is not feasible. So it's like, not everyone has access to that. It's bullshit. So anyway, they're offering a refund. They put out a statement. Apparently PlayStation 4 they were saying go through the CD Projekt Red, they were saying go through the PlayStation 4's refund process to get a refund. And for some reason, it wasn't working. So then people were getting pissed and they were tweeting at and emailing, messaging CD Projekt Red saying, what the fuck? And so they put out a statement today and said, we've just started reaching out to people who sent us a message with a confirmation of receipt. We send these emails out in waves, so don't worry if you don't receive an answer immediately. At the same time, we'd like you to know that our intention is for every owner of a physical copy or a digital copy bought at retail who has valid proof of purchase and sends us an email at helpmerefund@cdprojektred.com within the time window to receive a refund. We will do this out of our own pocket if necessary. If you are unable to obtain a refund for the game from the store where you bought it, please contact us via email until December 21st, as this is a one-time initiative. We will provide everyone with next steps only after the refund request submission window closes. For digital versions, please follow the refund process of each respective platform. So, I mean, they were telling people that, but then, like, people started taking the game off of their store, and for a lot of PlayStation users, it wasn't working, and it's just horrible. Very, very bad. This is horrible. okay? This is super bad. First of all, the game came out buggy. Then the past console versions, and it's weird saying past console versions, but like the PS4 and Xbox One versions were horrible looking. Game was crashing when certain clips and bugs happened. I saw that certain missions that were being activated crashed the game as well. Very horrible. Very bad. Okay. Apparently, Microsoft and Xbox support tweeted today. They said, Cyberpunk 2077, to ensure that every player can get the experience they expect on Xbox, we will be expanding our existing refund policy to offer full refunds to anyone who purchased Cyberpunk 2077 digitally from the Microsoft Store until further notice. While we know the developers at CD Projekt Red have worked so hard to ship Cyberpunk 2077 in extremely challenging circumstances, we also realize that some players have been unhappy with the current experience on older consoles. And Sony has opened up refunds and has delisted the game completely. While it's still listed on Microsoft, it's been much easier getting a refund there, and now the company is making it even easier. Sony put out a statement yesterday, and they said, SIE, Sony Interactive Entertainment, strives to ensure a high level of customer satisfaction. Therefore, we will begin to offer a full refund for all gamers who have purchased Cyberpunk 2077 via PlayStation Store. SIE will also be removing Cyberpunk 2077 from PlayStation Store until further notice. Once we have confirmed that you purchased Cyberpunk 2077 via PlayStation Store, we will begin processing your refund. Please note that completion of the refund may vary based on your payment method and financial institution. Oh, man. Yeah, this is very bad. This is very bad. And we've had this discussion, okay? I called this, and I didn't want to say anything. I wanted to wait until I saw what people, what our listeners in Discord were saying, what people on my friends list on social media were saying, what my friends locally were saying, my IRL friends. I wanted to see what everyone said about the game first. Now, aside from the things, my personal opinions from some of the stuff in the game, just overall how this started is really bad. I called this, okay? Not with this game in specifically, but many, many, many years ago, probably like 3 or 4 years ago, about 3 or 4, because for those of you who don't know, the live cast show I used to do called Cards in Hand with Joel, excuse me, with Joel, we did like a reboot of it because like I had been done with it before I started Anime Summit podcast, but then when I was doing Anime Summit, we started it up again. So I was doing both shows for a little bit. It transitioned from like a tabletop show to just a straight up nerd show. And we just talked about all kinds of stuff. And one of the episodes we came out with was the future of video games, because like we were talking about, I think we were talking about some Call of Duty game or something, where the way Activision was handling stuff and the way EA and Activision was handling something that was really shitty, and things like that. And we were talking about how digitally purchasing games and the future of video games and how they put out games and DLC and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure that one of us, probably him, probably Joel, said that something like this was going to happen. And first it happened with No Man's Sky. Okay. That was horrible. That was bad. Okay. Before that, Diablo 3. Okay. That was pretty bad also. Then there's this, but you don't expect it from CD Projekt Red. Okay. You expect it from big companies like Blizzard and things like that. But it's just like, this was bad. This is horrible. And I said this was going to happen. We said it. 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 Okay? And you can sit there and call me old lady Sam, old lady Sam. You're just a fucking millennial. Fuck you. No. I fucking told you. I said it. And I didn't say anything this past week about it at all, anywhere, because I wanted to wait and see, okay, maybe I don't want to sound like a fucking old fogey, you know, because I'm like 80 years old right now yelling at you. But like, no, seriously, like I said it, okay? It's not the same. Gaming is not the same. It's not the same. I have never had an issue purchasing a game on Steam. I have never had an issue purchasing a game at the store and bringing it back, putting it in my console, you know, whether it was a cartridge or a CD. I've never had that issue, ever. And then you wonder why places like GameStop and this and that and whatever is going out of business. This is why. This is horrible. This is bad. This is what happens when you do this kind of shit, this digital shit and whatever. When you hype up games like this, in the age of the internet, these games are hyped up way more. And that's this is exactly what happened. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying, like, fuck the internet, fuck you kids and your phones and stuff like that. I'm not saying that. Okay, I know, I realize how much of, like, an old fogey I sound like right now. But honestly, if video games, because back then, the way you advertised your video games was on the TV, on a commercial or in a magazine, you know, on different, all the different video game magazines we had, Nintendo Power, PC Gamer, back when Game Informer was doing print, things like that. That's how you advertised your game. And there was a standard, okay, because you put it on the cartridge, you put it in the box, and you send it to the store, and that was it. There's no going back and fixing things, okay? Nowadays, that's what we have, right? We can patch things. We can go back and fix it later. Because of the demand and the way the internet works and the way you hyping people up on the internet, you just put out the game just like that. And I understand that the pandemic really kind of made people anxious and things like that. It made you, I feel like it rushed CD Projekt Red, and they just ended up putting out because they want to put it out. You know what I mean? They want to ride on the pandemic success. Oh, well, people are going to be home, so let's release it now so everyone buys it, since they're going to be stuck at home or people are going to be quarantining, you know, whatever. And I think I'm doing incoherent babbling right now, but, like, honestly, there's no standard. There is no standard. The company will tell you that there is one. There is none. Back in the day, you put it on the PCB board or the motherboard. You screwed it inside of a cartridge. You screwed the cartridge shell on it. You stuck it in the box and you sent it to the store. That's it. There was no going back. I can think of a few times where a cartridge game or an SD card game, like a DS game or whatever, had a bug issue, and then they offered, you know, they offered exchanges for a new patched version, and then you would just put it in the mail and then you would get a new cartridge. I can think of a few instances where that happened, for sure. But when it came to games like on PlayStation 2 or GameCube or even PS3, you put it on the CD, you write it on the CD, you mass produce them, they're gone. They leave your factory, they go to the store, you buy it, you take it home, you put it in your console, you already bought it, you bought it one time, you play the game, boom. That is no longer the case. And I said that 4 or 5 years ago when we did this, when we talked about it. I said, that is no longer going to be the case. That is not going to be the case anymore. Mm-mm. Nope. Not, at least, not for these big games. And I hope all these other game devs take note of this. You'd think they would have taken note of it when it happened with Diablo 3 and No Man's Sky and the few other games that this happened to. But no, this was terrible. This was really bad. And if I'm wrong on this, if I'm missing something, then please, you know, holler at me and we can talk about it and you know, educate me, because this is purely just from my observation, okay? But, like, this is bad. In my opinion, this is bad, very bad. I'm glad that they're offering a refund to people. That's all I can say. That's good. Anyway, wow, I went on a fucking tangent there, okay? And obviously, Smokey's waiting for me because we're going to go downstairs and do some blow. But anyway, let's take a small break real quick and we'll get into the anime news. Hey everybody, Sam from Anime Summit here, and I'm here to talk to you about matcha tea from teapaz.com. This matcha is harvested from Uji, Japan, and is certified organic matcha. It's a healthy and organic stress reliever, cognitive boost. It's full of antioxidants and full of natural caffeine to wake you up in the morning. Go to teapaz.com and use anime at the checkout to get 20% off. Or you can go to matcha.animesummit.net and it'll auto-apply the coupon for you. Matcha tea at teapaz.com. Boom, check that out for me, okay? Links.animesummit.net. You can find everything right there. Patreon.com/animesummit. And I really want to, I know I said this on the last episode, on the Krampus episode, but I really just want to thank you guys again for those of you, for being patrons, you know, during this year with the pandemic and everything. It was really nuts. And, for those of you who stuck around and being patrons, even if you were a patron earlier this year and no longer are a patron, I still thank you for being a patron at all in the first place. Whether you are right now or you were and not anymore, thank you. Thank you anyway, because it's amazing. It's to during these times of uncertainty and this crazy pandemic, I really appreciate it. And to just the listeners in general, for me personally, I can't speak for Nick and Danny, but for me personally, it was very, very hard. You think the next year is going to be fine. You think, oh, 2020 is going to be my shit. You know, I'm going to rock that shit. I'm going to own it. And then nobody got to, you know what I mean? Cause of the pandemic. And, but a pandemic aside, let's say, right, if the pandemic didn't happen, for me personally, it was very hard in terms of growth and in terms of hardships and dealing with people and things like that. So I really appreciate it for all your continued support and your continued listenership. And I hope that this next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that and after that and after that, that this podcast will continue to be, will continue to grow and continue to be a part of your lives just as much as all of you are a part of mine. So I really appreciate that. I'm about to cry, so I'm going to stop. So, woo! Okay, anyway, shut up. Don't nobody look at me, okay? I'm fine. Trisha was chopping onions earlier, okay? Shut up. Anyway, let's get into the anime news, okay? World Trigger anime already gets a third season, with the second season premiering this winter. They've already announced a third season. So if you're into World Trigger, I heard this show is super sick. It's 73 episodes, and this second season, I guess, is like 12 episodes or something like that. But I heard it was super cool, and I want to watch it. If anyone, you know, any World Trigger fans out there, tell me to watch it. Record of Ragnarok manga gets anime in 2021. Warner Brothers Japan announced on Friday that it is producing an anime adaptation of Shinya Umemura's Ajichika and Takumi Fukui's Record of Ragnarok manga that will debut in 2021. And they revealed a teaser trailer. And yeah, isn't this some shit where like gods fight in an arena or some shit? Because I'm seeing Lubu, Gear, Thor, Zeus. Like those are all different fucking gods, right? Because like Lubu is Chinese, Zeus is Greek, Thor is Nordic or Norse mythology, right? 7 million years of human civilization is coming to an end. Every 1,000 years, all the gods of the world gather in heaven to attend the conference of mankind's survival. All the gods agree to bring an ultimate end to the mankind due to their past foolish acts. But before the final verdict is made, Brunhild, the eldest of 13 Valkyrie sisters, make an objection. To spice things up, why don't you test humans? Her proposal was to have a god versus humanity's final struggle, also known as the Ragnarok, where all the gods from the world and champions from the entire human history enters one-on-one battle. The first team to win 7 battles out of 13 will be the winner. It seems almost impossible for the humans to win against the gods, although gods sneer at them. Brunhild makes a further provocation. Are you chickening out? That touches gods' nerves, and they accept her proposal in anger. Therefore, Brunhild and her sisters must choose 13 of the strongest champions throughout human history. Oh, that's kind of sick, actually. That's kind of sick, actually. I heard this manga was lit. Now it's getting an anime. Maybe I should read it. Have any of you guys read that? If you've read it, let me know. Bottom tier character Tomozaki anime. Full promo video, opening theme song. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, right? Tomozaki is one of the best gamers in Japan. And in his opinion, the game of real life is one of the worst. no clear-cut rules for success, horribly balanced, and nothing makes sense. But then he meets a gamer who's just as good as him, and she offers to teach him a few exploits. Yeah, it's like a rom-com, but it's some gamer shit. The girl looks really cute. The girl and the guy, the two main characters, they look super cute. Like, low-key. Low-key, but high-key, but low-key, you know? Evangelion Legend of Pico Pico Middle School students, manga creators, draw two new Mega Man manga. So Neon Genesis Evangelion Legend of the Pico Pico Middle School was like a spin-off kind of cute manga. I think it was serialized in Young Ace. I don't remember what it's about, but I think it's like an alternative like reality. Anyway, the mangaka for that drew two Mega Man mangos. So these look really cool. It looks like one of them is like I have no idea. It looks like Dr. Light when he was young or something, or Mega Man when he's older. I have no idea. It looks super cool though. Looks super cute. That is going to debut in Kadokawa's Young Ace Up website. I'm gonna have to read that because I love Mega Man. Mega Man is ace. Kodansha USA partners with Inker app to add more manga titles. Kodansha Comics announced on Thursday that it has expanded its partnership with comics distribution platform and app Inker, Inkr, introducing the following new manga titles to the service: Attack on Titan, To Your Eternity, A Silent Voice, Your Lie in April. Kodansha Comics and Inker will also add more titles to the service this week, including titles that have inspired anime such as Fire Force, Fairy Tail, and The Seven Deadly Sins. Inker launched in April after pirated manga aggregator app Mangarock shut down its service. When it launched, Inker announced partnerships with Tokyopop, FanFan, Comic Loft, and Tan Comics to publish manga, webtoons, and manhwa digitally. You know what? I'm going to try this app, this Inker app. Let me know if you've tried it. I'm going to try it if you want me to do a little review of it. Holla Chaguala. Redo of Healer TV anime second promo reveal is January 13th premiere, so this is coming winter season. The revenge fantasy story centers on Kayarga, who is a healer. He's tossed around by his fellow adventurers on the assumption that healers cannot fight on their own. However, when he achieves the ultimate healing magic and heals the world itself, he goes back 4 years to redo his life. So yeah, this is like a fantasy. It's not like an isekai or anything like that. It's just a straight-up fantasy anime. It's based on a light novel, though, so it could come off very isekai-ish, I bet. Netflix adds X-Men Wolverine anime. There's the one produced by Madhouse, and then the Wolverine one. These are both the Madhouse ones. Okay, these are both came out in 2011. I thought it was a new Wolverine one, but anyway, I do have the DVD for the X-Men one. So if you've ever seen it, it's not very good, but it's it looks cool. You know, it's X-Men and anime, so it looks cool. 243 Cyan High School Boys Volleyball Team anime reveals promo video visual. It's called 243 or 2.43. The story centers on Kimichi Kahajima, who got into some serious trouble on his middle school volleyball team. As a result, he transferred from Tokyo to Fukui Prefecture, where he again met his childhood friend, Yuni Kuroba. Yuni has overwhelmed talent in volleyball, but is weak to pressure. And Yuni and Kimichika had become the ace combo at their team in middle school, but they had a fight at the final prefecture tournament. Now in high school, at Seiyan High School, Kimichika and Yuni have severed their relationship, but both joined the volleyball club. Along with the second year and third year students in the club, they work to make Seiyan High School's volleyball club a rising star in Fukui Prefecture. So, there you go. Another volleyball anime, but this looks not, so it's not, this looks more of like a, story driven. Not that Haikyuu is not story driven, but like Haikyuu is like a shonen, right? So it's like, this kind of, the art style reminds me of, Run with the Wind a little bit, kind of. So it does look really nice. G Kids post two clips from Lupin the Third, the first CG anime film. This is the CG film that came out, I think, end of 2018 or whatever, right? I don't remember. But anyway, this is the CG, fully CG anime. So it looks like a Pixar movie, I should say. Because I feel like when I say CG anime, you think of like Berserk or Land of Lustrous or Batman Ninja or Dorohedoro. When I say CG animation, I mean like it looks like it's like 3D animated. Like it looks like fucking, I should just say that, right? 3D animated. It looks like a Pixar movie or like Frozen, you know what I mean? But in anime form. It looks really cool. I wanted to watch this for a long time, and yeah, that looks super cool. So I guess that's coming to North America in theaters. I don't know when, though. It doesn't say. But with the pandemic, it probably didn't, right? So anyway, keep an eye out for that. Go to GKid's website, and they'll probably say. Tokyo Revengers anime's first video announces cast staff and April debut. Oh, I'm so excited for this, man. You have no idea. You have no idea how excited I am for this. It's going to be amazing, man. The animation looks, you know, it looks decent. It looks okay, you know, but it does look clean. Like, it has that clean style where it's, you know, two shades and obviously, like, the effects of him jumping back in time and stuff like that. It does look really cool. It looks super sick. I'm excited for this. Draken looks like they're trying to keep it pretty close to the manga style, the style of the manga, which is really cool. Obviously, to tweak it slightly so it looks more better fitting for an anime. But I'm so fucking excited for this. You have no idea. If the fight scenes are good, then it's gonna be good. Hopefully they don't skimp on the fight scenes. But yeah, they've have released a couple of teasers and designs and stuff like that already of the characters on Twitter and stuff. So, Funimation debut streaming app on the Switch. Seems really goofy. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Maybe I should download it on my Switch and see what it's like, huh? Battle Athletes Doyun Dokai Restart. The official website for Battle Athletes Doyun Dokai Restart, romanized as Battle Athletes Doyun Dokai Restart on the website. The anime of Rui Takato's new Pale Blue Dot Battle Athletes Doyun Dokai Restart manga began streaming a new promotional video for the anime on Wednesday, with the video website revealed the anime's first three cast member staff in April, and all that good stuff. So basically Battle Athletes, the premise of Battle Athletes is it's kind of like it's like in the future and it's intergalactic, and it's basically the Olympics, but interdimensional. So like there's the Earth representative, there's people from Mars, things like that. So the manga features a completely new story for the 90s multimedia franchise Battle Athletes Victory. In the science fiction sports action story set in the year 5100, elite athletes from around the solar system compete to become Cosmic Beauty, the champion of a huge athletic tournament. The prologue chapter includes images of the new competitors as well as Lari Feldnunt, Chris Christopher, and Akari Kanzaki, the Cosmic Beauties of 100 years ago. Yeah, so these are new characters. These are not the same characters from Victory. I've seen Battle Athletes Victory. I totally forgot about it. I do have the tapes on VHS, so I've seen all of it. I kind of want to rewatch it now just to get hype for this one. But yeah, Battle Athletes is really cool. What was really kind of goofy about Battle Athletes Victory is one of the characters, and I believe it was Chris Christopher, actually. I'm trying to remember which character it was. Hold on, let me look it up real quick. One of them was, and you know, they didn't have the vocabulary for it back then because this is in the 90s. I'm sure the vocabulary they did have for it was, you know, kind of outdated. But one of the characters was trans. Like they were assigned male at birth and then raised as a girl. And so she, okay, that's not her. Hold on. I think it was Chris Christopher. I'm Googling the fucking names right now because I want to see. No, it wasn't her. Damn it. I don't remember the character's name. She was just like one of the friendly characters. So she wasn't one of the final girls at the end, but it was really funny. Cause like they all were getting in the hot tub and after a rigorous training session, and they're like, you have a fucking pee-pee. And she was like, Yeah, I thought, like, you know, some girls had them and some girls had the other thing. And they're like, and then it was kind of like it was meant to be comedic, you know. But anyway, in my opinion, looking back on that scene, I have to rewatch it again. I don't think it was that offensive to me personally. But it was kind of peculiar. It was kind of funny. They didn't make it. It was supposed to be comedic in the way where it was like they were shocked to see a girl with, you know, a wang, I should say. Not that your gender is based on genitals, but like they were shocked to see it and they were all naked together. And I think that was supposed to be the comedic part. Not so much the fact that, you know what I mean? Anyway, Battle Athletes is actually, it's kind of corny in a little way, but like like it was just typical Olympic stuff. Like there was other sports that they invented for the anime, but like one of them was like literally just like running track with hurdles and stuff. And the outfits were super cute, you know what I mean? So I'm excited to watch this. You know, this could be really cool. This could be a sports anime that, you know, is kind of different in that sense. You know what I mean? I guess you could say. Because it's kind of a sci-fi as well. You know what I mean? So here's another, speaking of sports anime, Burning Kabaddi, sports TV anime. This one is basketball, I think. Yeah? The manga story centers on first-year high school student Tatsuya Yoigoshi. Oh, no, it's soccer. Okay, a former ace soccer player who dislikes sports. He gets invited to join a team for the contact sport Kabaddi. He scoffs at the idea at first, but becomes interested after watching a Kabaddi practice. Okay, what's Kabaddi? Can someone tell me what that is? Hold on, let's Google it. Kabaddi Jabaddi. Kabodi Shabodi. Shabodi. Oh, okay, here, I'm going to read it right now. This is straight on Wikipedia. Ready for this shit? Kabaddi is a contact team sport played between two teams of seven players. The objective of the game is for a single player on offense, referred to as the raider, to run into opposing team's half of a court, tag out as many of their defenders as possible, and return to their own half of the court, all without being tackled by the defenders, and in a single breath. Points are scored for each player tagged by the raider. While the opposing team earns a point for stopping the raider, players are taken out of the game if they are tagged or tackled, but are brought back in for each point scored by their team for a tag or tackle. And it originated in India. Wow, okay. And I guess they play it in other Middle Eastern countries and South Asian countries as well. That's really cool. So we're getting a sports anime about the sport called Kabaddi, and it's based on a manga. And the manga debuted in Shogakukan's Manga One app and Ura Sunday website in 2015. So there you go. That's crazy, man. Okay, very cool, very cool. All right, let's get into my opinion about 2020 and my observation about 2020. And I was about to get into it in the middle there during after our break, and I was about to, like, cry and shit. I'll be honest with you. Like, looking back, and I'm looking back at I was looking through Mal earlier when Trisha was cooking downstairs. And you know, a lot of it was just things getting delayed. It's not like we never got anything, you know, which is cool. But also the part that's bugging me is if somebody died of COVID just to make sure we had anime, that would have made me feel like shit. And I don't want to get into the politics of how many people have died already, okay? And I really hope out of all the people who have suffered, like, gets some kind of, I hope they never get forgotten, okay? I'll just say that. But, you know, in terms of entertainment, it really was just, like, how everything just got delayed. But then, of course, now we have this thing with Warner Brothers and how everything is going to streaming. And, you know, on that episode that I talked about, when we talked about Cyberpunk and I talked about how entertainment was going to change and evolve and get worse, get better, get worse. We've talked about it many times on this newscast about how streaming services are going to change. Things are turning into purely for convenience factor and things like that. And convenience is really nice. Don't get me wrong, you know, as somebody who is getting older and more tired and, you know, things of that nature. I totally get convenience, but I really wish we could be getting convenience in all the right places and not the places where I don't think we need them as bad. And I think this pandemic showed a lot of problems. It exposed a lot of problems that we've been complaining about and been having. Except as far as the entertainment industry goes, it just exposed how people can get away with just selling convenience to you. And that's a little scary. because now theaters are considering just that alone, that situation alone. Theaters considering slashing price tickets on Warner Brothers movies just so they can try and get you to come to the theater, you know. That sucks, man. That's horrible. And you know, we could sit here all day and talk about whose fault it is or whose fault it isn't, whatever. But I'm not gonna do that. What I'm talking about though is, I hope that, I gotta find a way. I for me personally, and I'm not trying to tell you guys how to spend your money or whatever. But for me personally, like I keep talking a lot of shit, like, oh, I gotta start buying more physical soon to support this and support that and whatever. And I always just come up short, or I just never fucking do it. And I just, I need to start doing that. That's my observation. That's all I'm gonna say. That's what it is. That's it. I need to start putting my money where my mouth is. Because, and putting it where I don't want it to be. You know what I mean? Taking away from where I don't want it to be, obviously, because I don't know, man. I don't think the movie theater industry is going to die. I honestly think there's too many of us who just love the movie theater experience too much, to be honest with you. I really do. And that's mostly, I'm mostly speaking on young people. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of kids younger than me love going to the fucking theater. You know what I mean? It's a hangout for them. You know, it's a hangout for me, you know. Before this, you know, a couple years ago, I was like, I'm going to start going to the movie theater more. And we did. You know, me and Trisha and our other girlfriend and her husband, we were going every week. You know, we saw Sonic. We saw Avengers Endgame. We saw, what else did we see? We saw Star Wars. We were seeing movies every week, you know. And there was even some nights where I didn't go and it was just Kate and Trisha and they went or whatever, you know what I mean? So, like, or sometimes it's just me and Trisha, we would go. And we would go to one movie theater by our house, we'd go to one closer to a friend's house, you know what I mean? It wasn't the same movie theater every time, but and I'm just one person, right? Like, obviously, me, when the pandemic is over, which who knows when that's going to be, and I start going to movie theaters again, I'm just one person. Like, I by myself, I'm not going to, like, single-handedly, financially hold up or save a movie theater just because I patron it. You know, it'll take all of us. And, or a lot of us, rather. But I just want to say that if you can, you know, if you care about something, you want to give life to that thing, right? If you care about a painting, you'll paint it. If you care about your cat, you'll feed it. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same. If you care about your plant, you'll water it. That's kind of what I mean. If I care about movie theaters, I'll go to them. And if like I said, I can't do it by myself. It'll take a lot of us to do that, you know? And so I just, it's kind of one of those, I'm kind of giving one of those, you know, hold your loved ones close kind of speeches, you know, and that's kind of corny, I guess. But in terms of entertainment and how it's affected us as a podcast, in terms of anime, it really hasn't affected us as a podcast that much. It really hasn't. You know, we were still able to review the things we wanted to and things like that, you know. It's not like it completely ruined what we were doing. You know, it wasn't a big deal for us. in terms of making up the podcast, it wasn't a big deal. You know, things just got delayed. Okay. So we were okay. You know what I mean? But in terms of people's jobs and livelihoods and things like that, it's like, shit, you know? So if you care about your plant, you're going to water it. You get me? That's all I wanted to say. That's all I wanted to say. And I hope that you can do that with me. I'd really appreciate it. So that being said, I love you guys very much. I'll always love all of you. And this has been the Anime Summit Newscast.